All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Hoops version, two this week. We actually had, two shows. Football the other day, basketball tonight. Jeremy Moss with Eli Bedker. And we're going to have to hustle to get this done tonight.
Yeah, we're under the shot clock right now. See what happens.
Literally, with a basketball game, I have to help work on. So we got to get going. So do what we normally do. That may make it more concise, what we have to do, instead of screwing around.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to Saturday because... Just for a minute. I'm sure if you haven't seen this, where have you been? Oh, it wasn't Saturday, was it? Yeah, it was Saturday. Oh, sorry. ESPN schedule's lovely. I clicked last week. It takes me to New Year's Eve.
What? Weird.
I hit that arrow button. That's what it was. So it takes me back like 2 weeks.
Hmm.
The game we're talking about, if you haven't seen it or don't know about it, where have you been? Nevada 105, New Mexico 104.
Man, what a game. I wish I wouldn't have turned it off when I did because I didn't, you can only see so much through a replay, you know? I didn't feel the full emotion of the entire comeback.
Yeah, I watched a little, I forget who it was on Twitter. You did a good recap about the, just a comeback. They put a good, they edited out essentially the free throw, sort of. But that's like this is not a hyperbole, but that comeback was like nothing I've ever seen. For them being down, what was it,
It was 25 with 14 minutes left, I believe.
No, but wasn't it like 20, like 14 with like 75 seconds left? Wasn't it something
yeah.
like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like Reggie Miller scoring 9 points in 2 seconds when he did against the Knicks, still in the ball, hitting three threes in a row. It's like, it takes both teams. Like, Nevada, obviously, great 3-point. New Mexico, even though they're normally good at free throw shooting, were terrible. It's like, this comeback is like, What's the bigger comeback? And like, the game is essentially meaningless in the grand scheme of things. Probably won't make a seeding decision in the conference tournament or anything like that, but these comebacks don't happen.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, I can't remember a comeback to this extent just this deep into the game. I mean, that's a 14-point deficit with just over a minute left. That it reminded me a little bit of the Purdue Little Rock game last year, where Purdue had, I think, 12 or 13 point lead with maybe 2 minutes left. I mean, but that still doesn't really come close to what the extent of this one was. And Little Rock was never down 25 in that game, so that, I mean, this was essentially over. KenPom had a 0.0% chance of Nevada winning this game at one point in the second half.
So he's going to adjust his rating or something with a comeback like this?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, this has to maximize it.
Here's the weird thing about it. Like, we're not going to dwell on this game a ton, but because we have a bunch to get to real quick, so we don't want to go too long. But the free throw shooting was terrible on both teams here. Sorry about that. My phones are playing, but Nevada went... what was it? 18 and 27. New Mexico needed just literally one free throw to win this game, essentially. Not go to overtime. 26 of 40.
Yeah. And that must mean that they were shooting really well to start the game because I think they missed 8 free throws in the last, I don't know how many possessions, but it was just clang, clang, clang. They couldn't figure it out from the free throw line.
Yeah, for sure. And they're a good free throw shooting too, because Jeff Grammer put a tweet out. I think it was Elijah Brown, shoot practicing free throws after the game, like at 1 a.m.
Yeah, and he's the one that doesn't need the practice, honestly.
Yeah, because they're shooting 75%, so it's like an anomaly. And this is a home game, and I don't know. But then you see New Mexico kind of stick with Lobos. They lost to UNLV at home the other night. What's going on? Can you explain this conference to me at all?
I don't know. I've never really been able to figure out the New Mexico team because they can seemingly beat any team in the conference. And we saw them go on the road and beat the Aztecs. Still, when we thought that San Diego State was a decent team, that was on New Year's, and then they lost 3 straight at Utah State, that insane Nevada comeback, and they played close with UNLV for...
But they're terrible. Rebels are awful. Yeah. Come on, don't give them, they lost to UNLV. UNLV's awful.
Yeah.
And in the end of the game situation as well, Rebels were on a 10-2 run to win by 5 points. And so this is another game that they were ahead, should have won, but lost.
Did they attempt any free throws at towards the end of the game? I didn't see anything like that, but
Let me look.
I don't know if they just can't finish at the line. That might be something.
Because yeah, if you shoot well overall, it's all well and good. But if you're not making everything overall, it's going to come back to get you. Really quick, did they finish the game? New Mexico.
I see. There's a 14-17 at the line.
Nothing.
So they shot fairly well.
You have 80 seconds left. It was UNLV who shot two free throws. You had Elijah Brown miss a 3-pointer. They only had one shot in the final 70 seconds of that game. Final 80 seconds. Huh. And they were up by three or down by three because that was a Bryant to tie. Now it's 3 seconds. They went a whole 67 seconds about without a shot attempt.
Jeez. Yeah, that's not going to cut it, especially in close games. I mean, you might have early second half where you go a minute without scoring or attempting a shot, but crunch time, game on the line, you have to at least put something up.
Yeah, because it was 69-66 with 80 seconds left. They lose 71-66. So that's like the opposite of the other game.
yeah, exactly.
No point when there was, 20 points or something scored in the final. But are we still wrong to say New Mexico has possibly the two best players, like Williams and Brown? Like, they're very good.
Yeah, I agree. And Grammer had an article earlier this week, might have been yesterday. It wasn't exactly hinting at Craig Neal misusing Tim Williams, but for a player of his ability, and we know how efficient he is on the offensive side, he's imposing on the boards, he really isn't touching the ball as much as he should down the stretch. And this is a guy that shoots over 60% from the field, and he's not even third in possession percentage on his team, so that's it doesn't really make much sense why you're arguably your best player, and we know how good Elijah Brown is, but
he shoots too much. That's my problem with him. Like, look at the box for New Mexico Rebels. Williams, 5 of 8, good. No 3-point attempts, only 2 free throws. He did get 7 boards and assists, but only 11 points where Brown needed. He's like Allen Iverson. He needed 13 shots to get 13 points, 0 for 5 from 3. It's like, Brown could go off for 35 points almost any night, but that is not the case this year. It's more often, even getting above 20 points. He's sitting at 17, which is fine, but he'll go off 7 point. Oh, Pine Bluff doesn't matter, but he just takes too many shots to get there. Like he's had three, like Fresno State 2 of 10, 6 of 17 versus Illinois State, or then he goes 7-11 versus Northridge or 8 of 13 versus UTEP. It's like he's either very good or very terrible, and I think you're right. Like confusing. Williams, he needs the ball more. Williams needs the ball more. Brown needs a bit less. Just give him. And Williams also needs to get the free throw line more than 2 times.
Yeah, that's strange because he's one of the players that gets the free throw line as much as anyone. But when you have a guy that's shooting over 6% from the field, and I imagine he's averaging maybe 17-18 points a game, attempting only 8 shots in 39 minutes, that doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, 18 and 7 his average right now. It's like,
okay.
And the one good thing about you can make in this game, like you at least New Mexico spread it out more. They had 4 players in double figures. They had Cooper, Dane, lead the team. But again, it's a bad UNLV team. It's, I don't know. As for the standings, we're kind of jumping around here, but the standings overall, it's still Boise's league at the moment. They have not lost in conference play. It's close with them in Nevada because looking at bracket matrix, because we'll always discuss that for a little bit here and there. It's a close race. They have 28, a lot more brackets now, 53 this week, which is good. Is yours included in there, I'm assuming now?
Yes,
finally?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Who did you have, Boise or Nevada in there?
I had Boise.
What seed? I'm assuming about a 12?
They were, I want to say 13. Yeah, they were 12.
Okay. Yeah, because right here, it's basically, that's where it's at. Like, looking out there in half the brackets, about just over half, 28 to 51, 12 or 13. Somebody has them as a 10 from the fourth. And then Nevada's right there at 26, brackets included. Same, basically the exact same rate, actually a higher rating, but not as many brackets. So it's basically a tie. But, like, Boise's, Hutchinson's picking it up. Everybody's playing much better. And it's, like somebody mentioned for San Diego State, because they're not playing well, it's basically, and I kind of agree, it's like an exhibition season until the tournament plays. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the case after San Diego State dropped some of those early season games, thinking, okay, this team doesn't have the non-conference schedule or resume to make a run for an at-large. So it's really just play the standings out, see which seeds you get in the Mountain West tournament, and try to go from there.
Yeah, because Nevada, like, the standings look like bizarre standings almost. You have Fresno and San Diego, 2-3 and 1-3, both three games out. Aztecs got a win over Spartans, which, while they're better, they're not great. Everybody's above 500 in the league, which is good, but, or I guess Utah State's at 500, but it's, do you think, like, this Boise, like, if Boise State somehow, I know this is way early, and you'll probably tell me no if you'd like to, that's okay. If they run the table in league play, could they get at large, perhaps? Maybe?
You know, honestly, I think it's possible. I looked at, just I like to keep my eye on some of the bubble teams, some teams that, I know it's mid-January, but teams that we're looking at resumes that may or may not get in.
We could play yourself out now than in later on.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and it's super, super soft this year, and last year it was too, but just looking at some of the teams that are maybe 11, 12 seeds or out, or first four out, next four out, and they really accomplished next to nothing in non-conference play. I looked at Kansas State. They don't have a signature win. Texas Tech, they just had a nice win against West Virginia, but they have a bad loss to Auburn. NC State's another. They don't have a signature win. And Boise State, although at the time it didn't really seem like much, that home win against SMU, who hasn't lost since, is looking like a much better win for them.
It does. So teams out there, like, would it be in soft, like, could it be like a, let's say, here's a good example, St. Mary's RPI won't be great. Let's just say whoever comes out number two in the, let's just say if St. Mary's finishes third in the West Coast, I assume that helps Boise State quite a bit, because I think we both agree BYU's not getting an at-large bid, even if they win their next three against Gonzaga and St. Mary's total.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the tournament, so that would help them. It's, yeah, that's what, you're right, that's what people should look for. And look at all the brackets, whether it's Joe Lunardi, yours, Chris D'Albertin, Fox, like Stuart Mandel does a bracket, SI. Look at those final four teams. Like, look at the arrivals and departures, that list. Some break it down better than others. And especially the next four out, last four out. Because Nevada's moved up, I think, in the latest from Lunardi. He's, I think they're fifth. Is that correct? Do you think, I don't know if you have in front of you.
I think they might have been in the next four out, one of those teams.
They moved up from last
year. They're really not that far off, though.
No. And if you look at bracket matrix, it's basically a dead tie between these two teams. So instead of looking between Boise and, say, Nevada, look at Boise versus St. Mary's, like you said, Kansas State versus Nevada, or some A-10 number three or something like that, or Big 12 number 7 or 8, or the ACC, even ACC 11 or 10. Look at those teams to where they can get in. But it's just nuts. I don't – like, Utah State's playing better. It's – just watch every game you can, because – like, Colorado State will change pretty soon because they lose all their guys. They smoked Air Force. Look at the other day. San Jose State beat – I'm jumping around from last Saturday, but they beat Fresno State.
Yeah, that Fresno State team is they're heading south really, really fast.
And then we should mention this, though. The Boise-San Diego State game almost started off like last year's game.
yeah, no kidding. Started off that way.
10 of 28 from three for Boise. It's –
Boise played well, though. That was a good performance in the second half.
Yeah, they came back, and it's still – Aztecs still losing or don't have Malik Pope. I don't know what the latest on his is. Nothing comes up about him. So I – Union Tribune's all Chargers news because they're leaving town. You know what I mean? But since they're going to L.A., there's been no news, like press conferences, anything. It's just same old, same old. He's just hurt. And until he comes back, it's – that's a team where if he's back for the tournament and healthy, maybe at this point it's a smart thing to do where he just kind of hangs out and gets ready until he's healthy, because if they know there's no at-large bid available for them, why rush him back to hurt him? Get him ready for the conference tournament, and then Aztecs can still win the tournament. I'm not going to say they're not, especially if Pope's back and healthy, and give him a couple of games, because the injury is not season-ending as far as I can tell. Isn't it it's a hamstring, correct?
I think you're right.
Something nagging. So, I think, would that make sense to you, since there's no chance for an NCAA bid unless they win?
I think so. And maybe we're putting too much weight on the top seeds for the Mountain West tournament. I mean, it's not like there is a Gonzaga in the conference this year. Nevada and Boise State, although they've proven themselves as the front runners in the conference, they're not unbeatable. So San Diego State, if they're at full force, they have Pope back in March. I don't see any reason why they can't win three games against maybe Wyoming, Air Force, and then Nevada or Boise. It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Sure. One quick side note here. Do you ever look at that Giant Killers thing on ESPN Insiders at all?
I have, yeah.
Did you notice? This is about a week ago, so it's before the Nevada loss. My phone's going crazy. Whoops, sorry, folks. He has them rated on a list of, because they used to do it just for the tournament, but now they have it, I guess, every so often I kind of glance at. But he has the Aztecs listed in there with Wichita State, even UNC Asheville. Nothing high, like Wichita State's super high, even though I wouldn't really put them in that category too much. It's like putting Gonzaga as a mid-major team. Like, come on, really? They're not anymore. Yeah. They've gone beyond that where their conference is, but themselves are not. Like, I haven't looked at the exact rating, but Wichita State 42.1, Aztecs 14.4. So people still believe in them for whatever, not to say for whatever reason, but get healthy and maybe. There's something to be said about that. And let's go to the game this week because there's only so much we can do in middle of January to keep doing the brackets. So we had games last night. I have a million tabs open on my schedule here. But we had all the midweek games because we recorded today, which is actually better perhaps because we didn't have to do a weird like, oh, there's a game. Hope you listen to it. Don't miss this or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But really quick Tuesday, like I said, UNLV, New Mexico, Aztecs beat San Jose, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Good job for them. We talked about Nevada-Las Vegas victory. And then Wednesday, the only surprise – I guess Air Force beating Fresno is a sort of a surprise because people still are liking Fresno, but I don't know why.
Yeah, there were times earlier in the season where I thought this might be a team that can contend, but
hop on the wagon.
yeah, exactly. But they really haven't proven much to me. This is a team that's still struggling to find their identity. They're not really exceptional in any facet of the game. They're not in the top 125 in offensive or defensive efficiency, so they're not really exceptional on either side. So it's going to be tough moving forward for them.
Well, they don't shoot well. They don't rebound well. They gave up 81 points, which is quite a bit to Air Force, who, not that they're slow like they used to be a couple years ago, but they're still not a team that wants to push the pace. So 81 points for them is quite a bit. It helps when you shoot over 50% and dang free throw disparity in this league, or what do you want to say, differential, I guess. There's games where there's 60 total free throws or 70 total free throws, then there's games where there's like 25. It's just sort of
it's all across the map, yeah.
And it doesn't help when Edo gets only 6 points for Fresno, 20 minutes game time. It's like, come on, why? It's this league, putting in a salad, a mix-up, and see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's what it feels like sometimes. It really does.
And I guess the point I want to make, like, we'll just move on to Saturday really quick here, the 14th. We've got a huge bunch of games. So let's give a quick, because we need to get this going eventually here. We don't wrap it up, but any particular, okay, let's do this. Let's X out San Jose State Air Force because nobody cares. Sorry, guys.
But okay, fair.
Air Force should win. They're at home. And then everything else is pretty interesting throughout the, I guess not really Boise-Fresno. The way Fresno's playing, Boise should have won that game. So we'll just agree with that. Is that? You good with me? Is that okay?
I agree.
To skip along? Okay. And then we got New Mexico at CSU. This is the – are those guys eligible? They're not eligible in this game, are they? The three academic ineligible players?
I think you said the 17th they would be out, so they should be eligible for this one.
So if they're eligible, what would you give them a chance to winning this game with having more than seven scholarship players?
Well, New Mexico's banged up too, and to be fair – outside of Boise, there really isn't a team that isn't struggling with injuries to some extent. But
exactly.
Just knowing what New Mexico has been doing the last few games, I wouldn't put my money on them. So I'd probably take Colorado State at home, to be honest.
Okay, they do have the players. Semester doesn't begin until January 17th, so they're eligible for this game. So the Rams are pretty good, and like I said, if they have everybody there and. Like the way, and then not a cop out, but the way New Mexico plays, they could win by 20 points or lose by 8.
Yeah.
And so I think
you never know.
You want to see Williams get the ball more. Like what we said before, you said Brown needs to pass the ball a bit more, get some assists, earn the other stats, go for a triple double. And that does not include 3-point attempts or misses on shots.
Yeah. This could be a low scoring game. And like we always say with New Mexico, it could be determined at the line. Colorado State's another team that gets to the free throw line fairly often. They're 15th in the country in free throw frequency. I think New Mexico is second right now, so might not be a lot of points, but it might be a lot of free throws. So it could go either way.
Yeah, if it's less scoring, it probably, I think that favored New Mexico because they're going to have their two guys score, Williams and Brown there. Again, like they had a good scoring spreading it out versus UNLV, but they need to have, it's just the misses by Brown. Like we said, Brown needs less shots. And who cares? Okay, I'd rather him go 4 of 10 and then set a 5 of 18 and give Williams or somebody else those shots.
I think so, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how Williams matches up with the Mokbo because that's a guy that can defend. So that could be a good matchup.
All right, that game real quick. It's noon local time there. So like I said, San Jose Air Force win. Nevada at Wyoming. Wyoming's interesting just because it's at home, and they are very good at home because you go to altitude at 70,000 feet or whatever up there, 7250, whatever it may be. I believe this is on the Campus Insider or something, so look that up there. It's no, ESPN 3. Sorry, that's the other game. So 4 o'clock out there, Auditorium Arena, the most nondescript name ever.
Yeah, no kidding.
And these teams are like, well, I mean, it's two different teams at home and the road because they lose to Cal on the road, they lose Pacific on the road, they lose to Fresno and UNLV on the road, but they beat Utah State at home, beat DePaul. Was that a home game?
It's listed as neutral.
Vegas.
I can't remember where it was played. Sorry, yeah, I think it was Vegas. Yeah.
Like, they didn't get them there. Like, they don't, it's hard to get teams at home, but like, they beat Northern Illinois or Northern Iowa, which sometimes are good, but there's just a disparity. They've only lost. No, they have not lost them. They're undefeated at home, and so it's a big difference for them to be, oh, they're at home compared to the road. And that's where, like, we know we say home court holds well because I believe it was a 15 to 20 home wins for the conference as of, I don't know if it was before these last couple games, but that's, 80% or so of home teams winning, which that's why I'm leaning toward Wyoming in this game, even though Nevada's Cameron Oliver, they played very well, they beat San Diego State at home, though. That's the thing. They beat them at home. And I'm going to lean to Wyoming just because I think home court's huge, and that's going to be the big difference. Even if Oliver goes off for a huge game, I think the way Nevada or Wyoming's playing, and just they have 4 players to score 10 or more points. Like Jason McManaman is one of the guys surprising a bit, and he goes off. Justin James, they have enough guys. They go, 12 players over 12 minutes or more, it looks like, almost. Or excuse me, I can't count 9. they play 13 guys, but 9 guys play 13 or more minutes. They can just wear down Nevada. And at the altitude, that's a huge, I don't want to dwell on it, but Nevada's home court is probably one of the top in the nation almost.
Yeah, they have a really big advantage at home, and they haven't lost at home since February of last year. They lost to San Diego State, but I would consider Wyoming in an upset here. I think it could go two different ways. Nevada either shuts down Wyoming from deep, and these are two teams that like to shoot the 3 ball, or Wyoming shoots pretty well from beyond the arc, and they keep this close and end up pulling off the upset.
I think they could, because they'll be high off that victory over New Mexico, so they're not going to be afraid of anything, which they shouldn't be anyways. But remember, they also lost to Fresno State, who now looks like a pretty terrible loss. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, I can have to go back too much on tournament stuff, but that Fresno loss could come back to haunt them if they, say, lose 2 conference games. Like, say they split with Boise and they can, like, or lose, say they're, what's the conference, 16-2, I believe they play, or 15-3?
Yeah, 16-2.
If there's something like that, or just say 16-2, they split with Boise and they win this game, that loss could keep them out because wasn't that what San Diego State's record was last year, 16-2?
It was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that Fresno loss, oh, man. They just need maybe St. Mary's and Iona to win their respective conferences. That would help a bit.
Yeah, that would definitely help. And we mentioned earlier about the importance that St. Mary's might carry for this conference. I haven't really made that connection until today, but that holds a lot of weight too.
Yeah, they can keep winning because I don't know how high St. Mary's RPI can get. Yeah, they play. I think BYU's still top 100. They're to beat them. They got Gonzaga at least twice. They can get them a third time, and so it's just San Francisco does have a good RPI. Teams like that, LMU or Pepperdine. Yeah, come on. Jeez.
Pretty good. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go. Oh, man. I'm going home team. I got to go Wyoming. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. But Wyoming, I got to, just being at home, that's a difference for me. Same.
I think I'm going to stick with Nevada, but I wouldn't be shocked. I was almost tempted to pick Wyoming in an upset, but I think this Nevada team had a serious wake-up call against New Mexico, and this could be a huge momentum builder for them moving forward. They could definitely string a few W's together.
Is there a line on this game? Have you seen that at all?
I don't see the line, but KenPom has Nevada winning by one.
Okay, so let me guess here. Let me see if Vegas Insider has it. Nope, no line. It just depends. Basketball's weird, so it makes sense being the road game and playing at where they're playing is a big deal. Because it's not like Reno is up higher, but they're not 7,000 feet higher. So one last game real quick before we wrap this bad boy up because we need to get going here. And it'll be a quick one. Good. Utah State at San Diego State. Oh. Do we have to pick this one?
You're not tempted to pick Utah State, are you? I'm going with San Diego State.
That simple, you think?
I think so. Yeah. This might be the time that SDSU, KenPom has them winning, I think, at least 10 games in a row now. They're back on the winning side. They played fairly well against San Jose State. I think they'll be able to protect home.
They should protect home. I'm just not as confident that they can win this game because their defense is not as good as it used to be, as we know that. Their offense is even worse than what it has been. But whenever you see Utah State, like, what do you have the efficiency for Utah State's offense over there?
Utah State is 115th in offense, 208th in defense.
What are they? Do you have, can you sort by pace over there?
Their pace is 215th in the country.
They are? I thought it was higher than that. Maybe, okay, that, at the some reason I thought they were higher. Here's the thing, though. They have two guys who could score, like McQueen. Jeez.
McElwain, right? Yeah, McElwain.
Sorry, I'm thinking. I'm like, Kobe McElwain and Jalen Moore, especially Moore. Moore, could he be a player of the year candidate right now for you?
Yeah, he definitely could be. I'd probably lean either Hutchison or Marcus Marshall for Nevada, but I mean, we know how good he's been.
Because he was going to go to the NBA, pulled out. I think he's a guy where if here's my reason how Utah State can win. They need both McElwain and Moore to have a big game, even Shane Rector and maybe even Sam Merrill to do maybe get a couple points above their average. Moore, I think he needs to go off because we've seen him do it. Like he's averaging 17.5, but he has obviously with that average multiple 20-point games. He needs to have a game like he did maybe against Boise State. Maybe shoot a bit more efficient, not 1 of 6 from three, but I think he needs to try to go off like 25, maybe even close to 30 points to get a victory.
Yeah, I think so too. And that would be huge considering the fact that this should be a fairly low scoring game. Both of the teams aren't exceptional on offense and play at a fairly slow tempo.
Yeah, because Utah State 75 points per game, 70 for San Diego. And like if you have, look on the Aztec side, Hemsley, same thing. Like I don't think, well, almost the same thing. He'll lead them in scoring, but they don't have a player who can be match point for point if it comes to that for Moore versus Aztecs.
Yeah, I like what Max Holtzel's been doing. He's without him, I don't know what SDSU would be up to because this guy has been lighting up from deep in these last few games. I believe he's shooting 37% from 3-point range so far this season, but he's been on a tear lately. So he might be able to keep SDSU in the game.
Or Hemsley, he's shooting 48% from deep range. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't shoot as often, really. He can. I guess he's shooting about 5 a game this year. But that's the way, maybe if they go that route. But I guess I got to go with Aztecs with you because they're at home. But it's not the same San Diego team. There's no fear in this team anymore to go into Viejas and say, oh, we're going to lose no matter what. No, teams will go in there and beat them. It's happened. Was the Arizona State game at home, correct? Yes.
Yes.
And they lost to New Mexico at home. And so it's like, there's no, like, you know what I mean? Like, there was that factor before. They had that huge winning streak. What was it, 100 at home? Was it a, shoot, up by 5 under 5 minutes or something weird like that they blew against New Mexico? Was that the game it happened?
Ended against Boise. And Boise, I think it was. It was something absurd, maybe 140 games, but it dated back at least 5 or 6 seasons.
And so if it comes down the stretch, like the defense is there, but I just don't trust San Diego State to say I'm going to pick them for sure. I'm going to go with the Aztecs to win because they should win. And Utah State, like they're like every team is flawed in the conference. There's no great team. Boise's playing the best at the moment, but there's a time of, oh, Aztecs are doing great. All right, they got off that losing streak versus Illinois. Loyola, Grand Canyon, Arizona. Then they beat Alcorn State, but then they went off Tulsa as USM, beat San Francisco. But then they lose the league play, three straight games, and a home game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, two losing streaks of three games this season. That's really strange for San Diego State. But I think they could potentially go on a tear here and make a run for the contenders. And I know we haven't really seen what would back that up, why I would think that. But it's just hard for me to believe that this San Diego State team is going to fold because they've been so dominant the last few years.
I'm wondering, because they missed Pope since Hawaii, if their defense, like, you think they played long enough together that they can just kind of fix it, essentially, get right with who take over for, I know Pope's a big deal on their team. Maybe it's just a point where they just need a handful of games or they're still working on that to, you know what I mean, get back into where they need to be. Because without Pope, they start league play, teams are familiar with you. So they know what Pope does or doesn't do, and they should know what everybody else does. So scouting, I know you don't scout a ton every game, and especially probably not as much in league play. It's more about what you do than what they do for most part. I guess that's right for college basketball, because with the quick turnaround, you're not going to go off and scout a full 12 hours. You're just going to watch some film. They do this, or watch for this player's tendencies, who you're playing against. So I'm wondering if maybe New Mexico and Nevada and Boise kind of use that, like – and then San Diego State finally, maybe they worked on some stuff for San Jose. I don't know. I didn't watch the game because they won by 15 and I knew they'd win. I'm just trying to spitball the reasons where I can say they should win easily without Pope.
Yeah, and it's definitely an adjustment that they had to make because this was the centerpiece of their team the last 2 years. And without him, it definitely changes things for San Diego State. And I mean, at this point, with how the injuries have affected so many teams, if and when they get Pope back, then you're looking at another contender in the Mountain West. So San Diego State could lose three or four or five more games in a row, and I still wouldn't count them out in the Mountain West tournament. They just have that much talent on their team, and it's hard for me to believe that they won't fulfill their potential at any point this season.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, real quick. So let's do something super quick, since who knows when we'll record next week. Maybe we'll do this Thursday thing. I think, does this day work for you going forward, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think this day works better, actually. Or, well, we've always done Thursday, I guess, for an evening instead of morning, whatever, but.
Yeah, something always seems to come up, though.
Yeah. So real quick, next week's games, because we won't get to talk about them before, but real quick, next Tuesday is the day you want to watch games. It sucks that San Diego State UNLV is on ESPN3. I know UNLV is not very good, but watch out for that game. It should be an Aztecs victory. But New Mexico, Boise, because like I said, like, we know the league's not great overall, but there's so many good players. Like, looking at both these games, I'm like, I know I shouldn't think UNLV should win, but they beat New Mexico at home, or on the road, excuse me. And then New Mexico has been struggling, but they play Boise. And is it still Taco Bell Arena? Is that correct?
What's that?
It's still Taco Bell Arena, right? Up at Boise?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's still Taco Bell Arena. I should know that. Yeah. You got Taco Bell and you have Wise Pies.
Oh, two of the, I don't know. But New Mexico at Boise, that could play in a factor because, well, maybe not. I guess with no extra bids, like, it's kind of hard to get excited for some games when you know the games don't matter as much. Like the one guy on Twitter said, these are all exhibition games until March 6th or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a point there, but it's still exciting to see some of these players. I mean, even Nick Duncan, who has, 10, 15 games left in his career. It's gonna be tough to see him play his last few games, but every single night you have talent that's going to go out there and prove themselves. Yeah. And we've seen that in so many times in the last few years at how exciting this conference can be on any given night. So
yeah, I was at the,
I'm always intrigued.
Yeah, there's always intrigue. It's just kind of, should I care how much you want to watch? But I just remember a couple years ago, I was at the conference tournament where Wyoming upset San Diego State. It was like 54-50 or something.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
Still a low scoring, great game to be there. So like, there's always talent. We saw Nick Duncan with the comeback in one of the semis, I think. Him just chucking it from threes right in front of us.
Yeah, that was good.
Sinking it. But like, I assume Boise will win. So Boise should be looking to go to 6-0 at that point, because I think they could beat New Mexico at home. And these are later games, both 8 or 9. I guess 7 Pacific, 9 Mountain Time for those games. So if I had to pick one, I'd lean toward New Mexico-Boise, because I think there would be obviously a chance for a 100-point game on that end for both teams.
Yeah, I think so. That should be high pace and tons and tons and tons of three-point attempts, so that's always exciting.
All right, let's wrap it up really quick. There are games on Wednesday really quick. Let's just do winners real quick because we'll record after, because I get to hustle it up here to finish up. Air Force Nevada,
I'm going with Nevada.
Wolfpack, yeah. Wyoming, San Jose on the road at Northern California.
I'll take Wyoming.
You had to think about it? Come on.
I think I'll take Wyoming.
CSU versus Fresno, first game without the with only 7 scholarship players. I got to go Fresno at home.
That's hard for me to say. I'll go with Fresno, too.
We're agreeing too much. Oh, well. That's okay. It happens. All right. That's our show for tonight. We had to wrap up the last little bit here, but mwcconnection.com. That's our website. Check out your Twitter handle. It's Bedker_Eli. We'll put in the notes just so you know how to spell it because it's not clear. Just how my Jeremy Moss is not clear either. It's not how it sounds. But so Hoops is here again. We'll keep going every week, and we'll figure what's going out. So check out this weekend, and we'll have some all sorts of stuff going up. And also real quick, Anthony Bennett is going to EuroLeague. Good for you.
Always a good day. Always a good day when we have Anthony Bennett news.
Got cut from the Nets and now heading to Europe. So maybe he'll – not his fault he went number one. You cannot blame him for being number one. Blame the Cavs.
Right? Yeah. Taking his talents abroad.
Exactly. So that's our show for tonight. We'll see you guys next time. And, happy hooping.